can be seated. Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm starting a new series today. It's connected to the series I just ended last week. And it's only going to be a couple of parts. Today's part one. It might be two. There might be three to it. But we're still talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Before we go on, I want to take last week's sermon up in two sentences. And that is the woman question. Last week, I talked about women, and I gave you scriptures about women being quiet in church and what it all meant. And here's just a little nutshell. When you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and it talks about the wives, it says, let your women keep silent in the church, and if they have any questions, let them ask their husband at home. It's referring to the wives of the people who are preaching, the leadership wives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it's referring to being under a covering if you are going to speak, pray, or prophesy in the church. Chapter 11 is talking about getting permission and learning how to submit under spiritual leadership. And that could be your husband, it could be a mentor, it could be the pastor, it could be the church leadership. But that sums up the things that we talk. See, I could have preached last week in 2 minutes, but this week it won't be 2 minutes either. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, we have been in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've covered these things, but I want to cover them again a little bit deeper, going a little bit. We did great detail about the gift of tongues and prophecy and interpretation of tongues. Before I go further into the different gifts and help you see if God's going to use you in them, I want to say that there is a tremendous amount of controversy about the gifts of the Spirit in the church. And it has been for over a century. There's a lot of conflict. What's interesting is every revival that we see in history, whether that's pre the United States or in the United States, we see centered around the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that they are manifesting. They are there. They are part of it. There are people who actually preach that all the gifts of the Holy Spirit stopped when the last apostle died, which I thought was really interesting because you have a church of close to 20,000 people in the city of Corinth, and that they were known that they spoke in tongues a lot, and Paul had to help bring boundaries and set some things straight to help them when they should speak in tongues, when they shouldn't, when they should pray in tongues, when they should prophesy, and this kind of thing. Could you imagine that they're all going and they're in a prayer meeting and they're praying, and then Apostle John dies and all of a sudden just stops? Like, what happened? Nobody can speak in tongues ever again. I mean, that just isn't logical. Doesn't make sense at all. But what you need to understand is, I think the reason people speak against the gifts of the Spirit is they were never trained in them. They've never been exposed to them. Or they tried and something went wrong. Or they heard a horror story. They heard something that didn't function properly. I thank God that at the very beginning of my ministry, within 2 years of pastoring, God connected me with an individual who was very strong in spiritual gifts. And I was very, very pursuing that avenue of my life to say, okay, how does this work? What goes on? And I remember with this particular minister who came from Oregon, he's now in heaven. His name is Dave Roberson. We would spend hours and hours and hours and hours talking about the gifts of the Spirit and learning how to listen to the voice of God and walk through that and get mentored in it. And I think there's a lot of people who haven't learned or haven't been taught. And I think it's important that we take scripture, take the word of God, and let the word of God teach us, and that we move in those areas because God wants to bless people through the gifts of the Spirit. God wants to help people. And even Paul, he says here, I'm going to reiterate some of the things, but I think it's very, very important. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. He goes, I want you to be trained. I want you to understand. I want you to welcome them. I want you to make sure that they are part of your life. But I want to look at these two words, the word spiritual and the word gifts, because I find that these are extremely important, very important words from the Greek language. And the word spiritual always implies the ideal of invisibility and of power. The word spiritual. This particular word is so unique. It is not found in the Septuagint. The Septuagint is the Old Testament translated to Greek. So if you're able to read the Old Testament in Greek, that is the Septuagint. And it is not in the Gospels. It's actually a after Pentecost or post-Pentecost word. This word is not used until after the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts came on the church. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came upon the church. And now going forward with Paul's writing and the writings of the New Testament, when we find out about spiritual things, it is extremely important that it is telling us about something that is invisible made visible. And it's made visible with power. That's very important when we look at the different gifts of the Spirit, that we realize the invisible thing of the Holy Spirit becomes manifested, or it's visible, or it's on display, or it's showing you something. And so you also need to know that the word gifts means manifestation. So it's really saying an invisible power is seen. Well, I want you to be concerning invisible powers that are now being seen by the Spirit. You need to know how to work, how to operate, how to live with them, how to cooperate with them. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols. You were carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, and I think this is important, he goes, since you used to follow dumb idols, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. This word, this Greek word for accursed, means for something to come to an end, where if you are saying, I want it to be destroyed. Today, people use the term, I know none of you ever have ever used this term, but people will use the term, God damn it. That would be cursing on something that you want to be destroyed. And I don't know why people say that over their cars, over their washing machines, over their appliances, you know, not realizing what you are doing. You are asking God to destroy the thing. That's kind of dumb to use that term. But it's only because you didn't know. Now you don't have to use it anymore. And you can quit this stuff with. And he says this, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit. And this word for by is also the word in, and it's referring to being in the Spirit or motivated by the Spirit or because of the results of the Spirit being upon you. And he's saying here that you're not going to be able to say something that is of the invisible to become visible, of the spiritual to become manifested by the Spirit, and it's going to accurse Jesus, or it's going to say about Jesus that he's false, he's wrong, he should be stopped, or anything else like that. You're not going to do that by the Spirit, nor are you going to be able to say, again, by the Spirit, are you going to be able to say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So a prophetic word or a manifestation of the Spirit or one of the power gifts or one of the things that's operating like gifts of healings or working of miracles, these kind of things, when they manifest, when the invisible becomes visible, it is going to be by or through the Spirit of the Holy Spirit of God, and it's not going to accurse Jesus, and you are not going to be able to do it without his power. So he's setting people up to know some of the things about the gifts. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And that there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works them all. I love these three verses. I think they help people understand the gifts of the Spirit very well, help you understand how they're going to flow, because here's what you need to understand. Diversities, differences, and diversities are basically, they're the exact same Greek word, and they do mean difference. They're something different. I think you should understand diversity is God's strength, not weakness. There is a move in the secular world trying to make sure nobody is male or female, that everybody's just people. God is the God of diversity. They're trying to God loves Mexican food, Italian food, Thai food, Indian food, even American food. I think the only food he doesn't like is British, but they have gone to India. Because everybody in Britain boils everything to tastelessness. But there's been a revival over the last three decades in Britain. They love curry. Anyway, you don't need any more food talk. But here, I want you to see this. There are differences. There are different gifts, but it's the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit controls the gifts. There are different ministries. These are offices, positions in the church, but the same Lord. Jesus controls the offices, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, administrator, helps. That's under the control of Jesus. The gifts, the talents, the abilities, and the supernatural working under the control of the Holy Spirit. There are different activities. This simply means different modes of operation, different ways of manifesting, different personalities, different ways that they will do things. Some people will do things a lot more flashy than others. Some people will do something that's a lot seems more tame or calm, but it is the same God. This is God the Father. So we have the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus, we have God the Father working in these manifestations in order to have some great things happen in people's lives. But the manifestation or the display or the revealing of the Spirit. So this is really, really important. But the manifestation or in referring to the manifestation is to make known of the Spirit is given to each one to profit all. Here's what you need to know. God put in the church gifts of the Spirit, supernatural giftings, where the spiritual world touches the natural world and something happens. We should all embrace it. We should all say yay. I mean, you do when you watch, you know, movies made by Marvel or something where people have powers. You all go, that's great. How about everyday believers having powers that come from the Holy Spirit? And we should be embracing it because it is the will of God. And here's what you need to know. But the manifestations, or when the Holy Spirit has come to light, when that thing that's invisible becomes visible, when the power spiritual thing that's invisible is now seen with the result, it is of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, which simply means that God is not using the gifts of the Spirit to promote the one, but to profit the all, which is really important. Because there are people who sell their gift. They have a gift of a prophetic gift. They have a gift of healing. They have different things. And they build an entire ministry off a spiritual gift. And building an entire ministry off the spiritual gift is very dangerous and could be selling or merchandising the anointing of God himself. When God says it's not to promote you, it's to promote all. The giftings of the Spirit are not to make the one person who spoke in tongues and the other who interpreted more important than the rest. No. It's the opposite. The rest who heard the interpretation are important to God, and that's why the act even took place. The prophetic word is not because someone can hear the voice of God and give detailed information about a person's life. It is for the person to hear from God. Let's not exalt the spiritual gift. Let me put it a different way. Let's not exalt the individual who has been used by God in the spiritual gift. Let's exalt the results of the spiritual gift. Let's exalt miracles, not the person who got to pray. Let's exalt healing. Let's celebrate the healings of people. Got that? And that's what this is trying to get us to understand. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretations of tongues. In these verses, these three verses, we have nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit says, I desire to manifest this way in the group of the church, in within the church, and through the church, for the exaltation or the building up of the church, that the church might profit. The whole purpose of this is for you to profit. The whole purpose of this is for you to have a better life. The whole purpose of this is for you to be healed, for you to be strong, for you to have a miracle. God not only does miracles all on his own, he has actually anointed parts of the body of Christ to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and to be used in some type of miracle for somebody. So it's very, very important that we understand this is God's will for the church. I think that's super important. I've shared with you before, several weeks back, about two words that are translated by the English word another. These are two separate Greek words. Allos means another of the same kind. Heteros means another of a different kind. And I've shared with you before, it's a good example. If I had a table here and I had a bowl of fruit here and I had an empty bowl here, and this bowl of fruit that's here has apple, oranges, all different kinds of fruit, and I take an orange and I bring it over here and put it in this bowl. And then if I say, get me another piece of fruit, and I use allos, you have to go get me an orange. If I say heteros, you can't get an orange. You got to get something else. What's interesting is Jesus told his disciples that when the Holy Spirit come, he would be sending another comforter. Allos, another of the same kind. He goes, another comforter is coming, and that would be allos, and that would be another of the same kind, and that he was come. It's better that I go away, that the Holy Spirit would come, so that you would be comforted by another of the same kind. Why? Because they're one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're both oranges. So then we go over here. So this is how it breaks down. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another of the same kind, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another of a different kind, faith by the same Spirit. To another of the same kind, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another of the same kind, the working of miracles. To another of the same kind, prophecy. To another of the same kind, discerning of spirits. To another of a different kind, different kinds of tongues. To another of the same kind, the interpretation of tongues. You say, okay, what does all that mean? It basically means that we, and then it says in verse 11, I do want to wrap this up, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually. And here's what I want you to see. The Bible breaks down the spiritual gifts with these two, the word of wisdom and word of knowledge, and then these five, and then these two. I have spent a good deal of time talking about different kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. I've spent some time sharing with that they come together. They have to work together. They are of a different kind than this group, but they're the same kind in their group. Now, here's what happens. The different kind that it's referring to has to do with the presence of the Holy Spirit, has to do with the anointing of the Spirit of God, that the anointing of a word of wisdom and word of knowledge is one thing, or the anointing of this. And let me show you something that's really interesting. Wait, let me finish this thought. So when there is a presence of the gifts of healings, the working of miracles, prophecy, it is the presence of the Lord, and he can do that Holy Spirit, and he can manifest in any of those ways. We can tear this down. I could break it down and tell you difference between wisdom, knowledge, the different gifts of healings, go and try to help you understand. But here's the issue. Sometimes they just blend together. They just happen. So many times, people who are prophesying are being used in a word of knowledge. People call it prophecy. But it's actually a blend where they're encouraging a person, but they're also giving them information about their life or about what God is going to do in their life. And there's this blend of this word of knowledge and prophecy. Happens all the time. And then there's people who think that the word of knowledge is simply getting to know something, like somebody here needs healing in a particular area. They think that's it. That's only one aspect of a word of knowledge. There's others, and there's more to it. But what I want you to understand is these two need each other. These two need each other. These five are all working and dependent upon the same anointing of the Holy Spirit. But then it says this in verse 11. It's the same Spirit that brings it, that works all of them. No one has ever operated, as far as I know, in all the gifts, all nine of them. I know people claim that they are, that they're self-proclaimed apostles, self-proclaimed different kind of positions and stuff, and say, I operate in every single gift. You may have been used once or twice in something, but doesn't mean that that's the anointing that's upon you. There are some people in the body of Christ, many, many, many people will never get used in any of them. And there are people in the body of Christ that don't want, no, keep them away from me. There are others that are hungry for, I would like to be used by God. The hunger is dropped in your heart by the Holy Spirit because he wants people to be used. And then there are people who think that they have control over this. And growing up in ministry and school and things, hearing people make this statement, what is the best gift? And the answer is the one needed at the time. Well, no, that's not scriptural. The reason it's not scriptural is you don't control. You cooperate. You have to be with the Holy Spirit. He controls the moment. We don't tell the Holy Spirit what to do. We're not smart enough. I mean, we really are dumb. I mean, if you want to do any comparison, if you're going to speak prophetic words, compare yourself to the donkey in the Old Testament. He spoke. But the other thing that's important is all nine of these gifts, which I think is very, very important, all nine of them are spiritual gifts with the word that was never entered into a believer's life until the day of Pentecost. So when we go to the Old Testament to study examples in the Old Testament about these different things and try to duplicate that, we are wrong. These are New Testament manifestations. One thing that bothers me as a teacher is people who have a gift of prophecy. You have to understand there is a gift of prophecy, and there's also in the New Testament an office of a prophet. And an office of a prophet is going to prophesy. The gift of prophecy can happen in church and should happen regularly. And according to Paul, it should be the gift that happens the most frequently. And the next two should be these two down here should happen the second most frequent. They should be alive in churches around the world. United States is awakening back to things that we have seen in the past and say maybe we're supposed to cooperate so that other people can be blessed. But what you need to know is the office of prophet in the New Testament is not the same as the office of prophet in the Old Testament. But yet you will watch people on YouTube who call themselves prophets compare themselves constantly to the Old Testament just because they happen to be the same word. But according to the Old Testament, a prophet was anointed by the Holy Spirit like a king. In the New Testament, Jesus has put into the church the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. They are offices under Jesus and were produced after Pentecost. They are not the same. You can't go to the Old Testament and learn how to be a New Testament prophet, but people do it all the time. Enough of my venting. We'll go back. See, that wasn't even in my notes. It was just in my heart, and I'm bugged by stuff like that. But I want to talk to you about this. So let's do a couple of things right here. I want you to see something that I think is really important. Back to verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another faith by the Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the Spirit and all the rest of the gifts. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge use the word through the Spirit. Every other gift uses the word by the Spirit, which I think is like when stuff like that happens and I'm reading, it kind of bounces off the page. And I ask myself, why? What's the difference? Which requires you now to go back to you can't to the Greek language and try to find out, is there a difference? And I found this out, which I thought was really interesting. This word through the Spirit and this word through the Spirit are two separate Greek words. I think that's interesting. And this word by the Spirit and by the Spirit are the same, but they're not the same as through. What's very, very interesting is this word, through the Spirit, means by means of or to walk through. It means that this, something is happening and you are now in the middle of it and you have to live through it with the Spirit. The second word, through, means in accordance with, which means this, that this knowledge has to agree with and work with this wisdom. Now, it's very specific. I look at Paul, who was a highly educated individual. I mean, we're talking about the best school possible. And he graduates at the top of his class. And God uses him. And so he doesn't use words lightly. He's going to use words specifically. And there's going to be a reason for it. And so what's going on is, which I find super interesting, is that he says this about the word of wisdom, word of knowledge. In fact, in the Greek, he could have written them either way. He could have put wisdom here and knowledge here or back and forth because of this word through, which means in accordance with, in agreement with, because of. And he says, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, which means by means of or to walk through. In other words, you are in the middle of that wisdom or knowledge, and now you've got to do something with it. It is live and powerful at that moment. So what do we do? Now, the other ones, which I find important, interesting, is the word by. And it says, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit, and continues. And the word by is a preposition, and it means in, by, on, at, with the primary ideal of rest. In fact, what it is referring to, it is a moment of time that it is a finished thing. So how does that come across with the gifts of the Spirit? So if I have a preposition that is being used by the Spirit, so if I have a preposition and now I'm going to be referring to the Spirit, and I have to understand that this means it's a finished work. So when faith hits, it's done, guys. We're going to get it done. When the miracle works, it works. When the healings are there, it is there. It is in the moment because of the Spirit, which means this. The person who's praying for the individual who is ill and the other individual has a gift of healing operating, it is not the person who is empowered, it is the Holy Spirit that's empowered, working through them and touching their life, and they get healed. And it is going to be by the Spirit, and it's going to be because of that very moment in time, it is going to be a finished act. Talk about word of wisdom and word of knowledge in this light, in understanding these things so that you can, you know, grasp it with me. And let me see where I'm at. So the word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Let me help you with this. Last Sunday, my wife Suzette came up to do the transition. When she stood here and took the service to an altar call, what was happening without anybody realizing was the gift of word of wisdom and word of knowledge. At the time, she knew the will of God. And the will of God at that very moment was to speak to people, and it's going to be through the Spirit. So she now has to walk through this moment with the anointing of the Spirit, walking through the Spirit. And then when the Spirit comes upon her, she knows, I've got to do this. She has two choices, obey or disobey. Because that's all she can do. She could doubt herself. She could say, oh, I can't do that. I've never done an altar call during the transition. What am I doing? Or maybe I didn't hear from God. Or you can just, by faith and pure guts, give it a try. That's what the gifts are. A lot of pure guts. Just doing it. Just stepping out. Be part of it. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge operating. Here, she's got the knowledge of someone needing to get attention and gives a compassionate, passionate altar call, talking about salvation, giving the message of salvation because she knows what has to happen. And by knowing what has to happen, she uses the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and starts walking in it. At that moment, I knew what to do. And here's what happens so many times. When you do something like that, something like this, or you preach and you prophesy and you speak and you know you're right, you can sense God all over you, then you go down the street and go to the Habit to get a burger and the anointing starts to lift and you start saying, ooh, did I do right? And we question ourselves. Was that the right thing? Did I say the right thing? Oh, no. Why did I say that? Welcome to the life of a preacher. That happens all the time. But the word of wisdom and word of knowledge is working together. And at that very moment, both of them were working together through Suzette to get an end result. They're working, and she is working actually in the Spirit, through the Spirit, walking and having that take place and having that happen. So a lot of times people think that the word of knowledge is simply knowing something about someone's life. But the word of wisdom has to now also be applied so the person knows what to do with that information. And it could be done in what is in the appearance of a prophetic word. Can I show you? I was going to go back if no one said yes. I said, Kevin, would you stand up? Okay, I'm just going to ask some people to stand up. But don't be concerned. I would like you to stand up. I'm not going to try to remember everybody's name. I need you to stand up. I need you to stand up. Excuse me as I walk through you. I need you to stand up. And I need you to stand up, if you would, please. Okay? Okay, so here's a word of knowledge, just so that you understand what's happening. The reason I asked each of you to stand up is God's doing something brand new in your life that you have been prepared for this moment for a long time. God is bringing in a whole new level of financial blessing into your life. He is going to touch you in a new way, and it's going to come, it's not all the same, but all of you are going to result in a financial blessing where God is going to do something big in your life. Some of you are going to inherit. Some of you are going to get promoted. Some of you are going to become all of a sudden smart with money and do something that results in fruit. God says that his hand is on your hands so that he might bless your hands at work to produce fruit. Okay, word of knowledge. Okay, nice. Do I just now just wait for God to do something? No. Word of wisdom. Word of wisdom would be the Lord is infilling you with thoughts, dreams, and desires that will lead you in the pathway of making those changes, and you will have to be full of guts to walk that path. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. In a prophetic format. Do you see? Now, I didn't pick them randomly. I picked them by being led by the Holy Spirit. I had no clue who I was going to pick until I walked through you. So this is a word that God is working in your life. And so what you need to do on your side, now, it's through me, okay? The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge goes through me. I'm simply the UPS guy wearing brown shorts, brown shirt, and brown socks. And delivering the package. But the package has your name on it. And the return address is heaven. So you know what? When you get a package, and you see the UPS truck drive away, you don't remember the driver. You just look at the package and you hold and you rip it open with excitement. Am I right? You need to rip open the package God has delivered to you today with excitement, and you need to prayerfully go, God, what do you want to do? You've got something going on in my life. Amen? Amen? Could we give the Lord a hand? Could we give the Lord a hand? Okay. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Okay, so that would be word of wisdom, word of knowledge working together. Now, I'm going to squeeze by you. Prophetically, even giving a prophecy or prophetic word would be God coming through you. Okay, it's going to be by the Spirit. Because the prophetic word is by the Spirit, not through the Spirit, and simply means it's in the Spirit. That is happening at that moment, in time, taking place, and God wants to do something. And the Lord says, you are blessed above all. He has put gifts and talents inside you, and it is now time to quit doubting all that he has said is already yours. And as you walk into your future, your hands are blessed, your feet are blessed, your mind is blessed, and your ability to communicate the will of the Lord is blessed. Your words are blessed, and God shall use you, and your dreams shall come to pass. I also see that you're going to be speaking over other people's lives, and it's going to encourage them. It's going to build them up, and they're going to be, wow, thank you so much. And some will actually be healed because of it. Amen. 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 Now, that would have been a prophetic word, and you say, well, I really didn't see the difference. See what I mean? Does it matter? Or is it, what's important is the following of the Holy Spirit and sharing the message of God and having people be helped. Right? The word of wisdom and word of knowledge can come into operation by the Spirit. Like some people think, okay, I'm at work and I got this thought. Well, that's, and it may not be the word of wisdom and word of knowledge, but what it will be is being led by the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians chapter 1, is supposed to enlighten our eyes, open our eyes, fill our heart with understanding and knowledge, strength. It is God's will, God's presence. Okay, here's another word of knowledge. Because I got actually this word of knowledge when we were standing here and Suzette was talking and sharing during our transition time. I had this word of knowledge that God wants to heal people today. Back problems, issues in the back where you have repetitive pain, you have pain in the back. You know, and to me, when I hear that, where God says, I want to heal people of back, I could care less what it is because I'm not a healer. So what if it's a busted disc or a sore muscle? Do we care? Versus, I sense God wants to touch your back. Why not just go for it, get some guts, and give it a try. What if we tried something that would eventually help people, but we were wrong? But at least we tried. I was watching, Suzette and I went to almost, I think we went to almost every single baseball game of our, at that time, 8-year-old, now turned 9, grandson's Little League game. So we're there. And there's this one little kid. My heart just went out for this kid. He'd get in the batter's box, and when the pitcher would start to throw the ball, he would jump out every single time. Every time. He's never going to hit the ball until he stays in and swings. It's what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to put his big boy pants on, hang in there, and take a shot at maybe being wrong or missing. And when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, you have to just take a shot. And maybe you're wrong. But if your heart is right, God will use it as a training session. But if your heart isn't right and you're embarrassed, you know what everyone else thinks? Well, I never would have talked in public like that. Wow, that was, wow, how, that's so much guts. They all thought, great. But the devil wants to come in and say, oh, that was so stupid. What'd you do that for? Blah, 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 blah. And that's when you stand up and say, get out of my life. I would rather give a word like this. God wants to heal backs. God wants to touch people. And here's how it started. Standing next to Suzette, she's talking, and all of a sudden, right here, my back hurts. And that, like that, to the point is, I don't know if I can keep, I'm thinking this while she's talking, I don't know if I can keep standing. It really hurts a lot. But I've learned, when something like that happens, and I'm preaching, it's God's connecting me with your pain. Because it's happened before in the past. And then when I get to pray for people, then it goes away. I know that they're fine. But a word of knowledge would be also, there are people here that need back pains, but specifically right here, right in there. And someone could be in pain right now. Now here's what happens. We've got a word of knowledge of it, and so we have to work with it, have to do something about it, and that we have to take the chance. Because if I don't say anything, how does that profit the people? If I go home and I tell Suzette, oh, I felt like God wanted to heal backs, she would say, well, why don't you do it? And then she's going to ask me, I'd say it just like that. But here's the thing is, why not try? Why not, if you feel like I have an utterance of tongues, why not speak it in the proper moment, at the proper time, not in the middle of the preaching? Why not find, again, how do we do it decently in order? So if you have any back pains or you at home watching, if you have any pain in your back, would you stand up? I don't care if it's a disc. I don't care if it's a muscle. I don't care if it's a bone. I don't care what it might be. But if you got some issues with your back, and for the best that you can, you know, if it's your lower back, could you put your hand, and same at home, put your hand on the back, put your hand on your shoulder, wherever, the best you can. There might be a place that you can't even reach. That's fine. God can reach it. But the word of knowledge would be it's time to pray. Now, put your hands down because I don't want them to get tired for a second because I'm going to walk you through something real quick. The word of knowledge is God wants to move this way. What good is the knowledge if there's nothing that cooperates with it? Which can only be to two things. One would be the gifts of healings take place now. The other would be a word of wisdom. And the word of wisdom would be saying, starting today concerning your back, you begin a journey of healing. Some people are going to get healed. Some of you are going to be healed like this, instantly. And others are going to have thoughts come in your life to evaluate your life. Some of you are going to find out that all your back problem is your stupid pillow. Some of you are going to find out maybe it's the mattress. But that would be the wisdom that we're going to walk through. Others, it's a lot deeper than that. Could be surgery, could be instant healing. The gifts of healing is plural because one person standing may need a different kind of healing in their back than the other person. So again, we can like bring this down into a science, or we could just say, God wants to pray for backs, let's do it. Yes? So now, with you guys standing, now you can put your hand wherever it was. And the same at home. Same at home. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Touch their backs. Straighten their spinal cords. Put each bone, each rib in its perfect place. put his disc in that place. And yes, touch their neck. Let that healing come up unto their neck as well. And may they be pain free in the name of Jesus. Touch them. Touch them. Touch them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What we want to do, before you sit down, what we want to do is take a moment through the word of knowledge, embrace it, accept it, and accept this day forward, I get nothing but better. And expect total deliverance in Jesus' name. Do not let pain tell you it didn't work. Let the word tell you it's working. Because if you had a headache and you took some Tylenol and 4 minutes later, we'll say, is your headache gone? They said, no, I just took it. Do you still have pain? Yes, and it's not working yet. Duh, but you'll discount God before you get to your car. Embrace the word of knowledge with let there be wisdom and healing take place. So let's give thanksgiving. Let's thank God right now. Let's thank him. All of us give thanks. We give thanks to the Lord Almighty. We give thanks to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Almighty. Almighty. Go ahead and be seated. And then the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge many times blends into a prophetic word, where something starts off prophetically and it moves into wisdom and knowledge. I have a word from the Lord for every one of you, for us, for the body of Christ. And the Lord says, you see pain, you see destruction, you see deception, you see corruption, I see revival, I see deliverance, I see healing, I see mercy, you see crime, I see freedom, you see murder, I see deliverance, you see pain, I see salvation, you see destruction, I see freedom. I am the Lord that produces freedom, mercy, righteousness, forgiveness, and blessing. Let my word bless you this day and walk in who you are and what I've made you, the delivered and the conqueror you are. Amen. Amen. Prophetic word for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Word of knowledge of we need to change what we look at. Word of wisdom, we need to receive God's blessing that's through the promises of his word, and we need to activate God's word in our life. Amen. Amen. Amen.